Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and I'll try and remember to list the source every time I start one. Let's begin with Real Simple Magazine. Give yourself a money checkup. First of all, let's say you see your doctor at least once a year, take your car to the mechanic, set a reminder to spring clean the house. So why not give your financial health the same annual attention? Digging through your numbers isn't an exercise in judgment. It's a way to make sure there are no surprises and to set intentions for the future, says Manisha Thakor, founder of Money Zen Financial Education in Portland, Oregon, and co-author of Get Financially Naked. It's an interesting title. Here's how to assess your financial situation so you'll be able to see which areas are going strong and which might need some TLC. First of all, your net worth. Know your number. Tally your assets first. How much do you have in your bank account? What are the current balances on your retirement and investment portfolios? How much would your home fetch if you put it on the market tomorrow? Then tally what you owe, like your mortgage, student loans, credit card debts, and auto loan. That first total minus the second equals your net worth. What to do next? You're checking for two things, that it's not negative and that it's trending upward, says Thakor. If you've never calculated your net worth before, think of this as your benchmark. Wealth doesn't have to grow in a perfectly straight line. Maybe one year the real estate market dips or your stock portfolio stumbles, but you want to do everything you can to nudge this number higher. Of course, if your salary and spending are in lockstep, your net worth can't rise much. To get things growing, you can either get more money, negotiate a pay raise, or start a side project, or hold on to more of what you make through saving or investing, or ideally, do both. Next, credit scores. Again, know your number. Three main credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Maintain your history, which financial analysis firms like FICO and Vantage use to crunch your score. Get your score through Experian at freecreditscore.com or discover.com, even if you're not a Discover cardholder. What to do next? Go to your annualcreditreport.com for three credit reports from all three bureaus. You'll find details on anything that might be dragging down your score. Check for errors. According to the Federal Trade Commission, one in five disputed reports contains one, and while most are minor flubs like incorrect addresses, 20% of identified errors are big enough to lift a score once corrected. If your report is error-free, know that the surest way to buoy your score are to pay bills on time and whittle down your debt. Next, take-home pay. Know your number. You know your salary, but how much do you actually bring home? People aren't intimate with that number and tend to overestimate how much they make after taxes, says Rachel Rabinovich, Director of Financial Planning at the Society of Grown-Ups, a finance education group in Brookline, Massachusetts. Peek at your payslip and note the frequency. Biweekly means you get 26 checks a year. Bimonthly means just 24. What to do next? Now that you know how much you take home, make sure you use that money to support your goals. Thakor is a fan of the 50-30-20 rule. Half, which is 50%, of your take-home pay should go towards needs, 30% towards wants, and 20% towards savings and debt repayment. Most people are far below with savings and far above with wants, she says. So don't panic if your budget seems out of whack. Any progress you make is worth it. Mortgage rate. Again, know your number. If you bought your home with an adjustable rate mortgage, the interest rate will change annually after the initial set period of 3, 5, or 7 years. Whether it jumps or slumps is beyond your control, but you'll want to be prepared if you're staring down an increase. Make sure your rate is competitive, even if you have a fixed-rate mortgage, says Thakor. What to do next? Refinancing is all about running the numbers to figure out whether the monthly savings of a lower mortgage is worth the paperwork and loan fees. Bankrate offers a comprehensive online calculator. If refinancing seems to make financial sense, talk to your mortgage lender or compare offers from the bumper crop of online sites, such as Lenda, Better Mortgage, SoFi, and Quicken. Credit card interest rates. Know your number. The average American household with credit card debt has a balance of $16,748 per NerdWallet's latest annual survey. Take stock of your IOUs, log on to each credit company's site, and rank your interest rates from highest to lowest. What to do next? Finance pros might hem and haw about when and whether it makes sense to pay off your mortgage or student loans early, but nearly everyone agrees that credit card debt is a hair-on-fire type of priority. Make at least the minimum payments on all your accounts and throw any extra money toward the card with the steepest interest rate. Once that card is paid off, focus on the next highest rate. And the minute you're financially out of debt, shift that monthly outlay to savings, says Thakor. You won't feel a difference in your budget, but you will in your net worth. And the last, savings. Once again, know your number. Your savings should mimic your financial goals, spanning both the short and long term. To see if that's true, check the balances on your emergency savings and retirement portfolio. What to do next? Depending on your financial situation, 3 to 6 months of living expenses is the goal for rainy day savings. But that amount may seem lofty for most, says Rabinovich. To move toward it, tally non-negotiable expenses, such as mortgage, groceries, insurance. Yes. Clothes, travel, entertainment? No, they don't count as non-negotiable expenses. That number reflects your vital living expenses, and socking away even a month's worth will give peace of mind. As for retirement, saving 15% of your salary is ideal. If you aren't there, consider bumping your contribution by just 1%. It won't feel like much now, but it will add up later. For 8 surprising ways to save your credit score, go to realsimple.com/creditscore. Also from Real Simple, how to deal with customer service. No receipt, no problem. Here, experts share their secrets to beating the customer service system, to return unwanted gifts, eliminate travel headaches, and get your issues resolved quickly. First, pause before opening. Unwrap every new item carefully. Don't throw away a gift receipt, and never open an electronics box if there's a possibility of returning it. Store policies about electronics, especially, can be tricky, since they'll want to resell the item, says Shep Hyken, a customer service and experience expert, and the author of Amaze Every Customer Every Time. Stretched out cords and missing packaging make others less likely to buy. Too late, pack up the box as carefully as possible, even wrapping the cords with twist ties. You'll have better luck at the return desk. Next, be extra nice. Stand out from the crowd by trying to elicit a smile. If you go in with a bad attitude, they're going to fight fire with fire, says Hyken. Introduce yourself and ask for the rep's name. They're trained to use your name to build rapport. Do the same to endear yourself to them, says Hyken. Next, empower the agent. On a primal level, people want to succeed at their jobs. And customer service reps are no different, says Lynette Padua, author of Say the Magic Words. Don't make threats or immediately request their supervisor. Make the rep feel like a powerful problem solver. Hyken recommends saying, I'm hoping you're the person who can help me today. Next, ask for what you want. Be direct. Don't expect people to understand what you're implying, says Padua. If you're trying to unload a gift past the return window, say you know the store has a 30-day return policy, then explain why the item should be refunded anyway. Or if they're strict about needing a gift receipt, say, I shop here all the time, and I don't want to offend my aunt by asking her for the receipt. Can I exchange the gift today for something in the store? Next, pay attention. It's natural to want to multitask in these situations, but it's better to focus on the conversation. People can tell when you're not listening, says Padua. Put your phone away, make eye contact, and be fully present in the conversation. Then use Twitter politely. Social media is a valuable customer service tool and can often get you an immediate response. Start by sending the company a direct message on Twitter with a description of your problem and your account number. If you get no response, then DM them a second time. Still crickets? Go public, but continue to be nice, says Hyken. When I realized I was going to miss my flight connection while mid-air, I DM'd the airline with my frequent flyer number, and they rebooked my flight before I even landed. And last, try contacting the CEO. If you've moved up the supervisor chain and still aren't satisfied, go to the top, says Hyken. Search for the president's or CEO's name and the phone numbers of the company's headquarters. Call and ask to speak with someone in his office. While you probably won't get the CEO on the phone, you will get his gatekeeper, who may be able to solve your problem fast. From Redbook, brilliant reads, eye-openers. In the book The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin, that's Benjamin, a fortune teller predicts the dates on which four young siblings will die. As you follow them toward their fates in this magical family saga, you'll appreciate the unexpected in your own life. Then the book I Am, is Maggie O'Farrell's hypnotic memoir. I'll spell her last name, O'Farrell. It's her memoir of her 17 brushes with death, but it's also a dose of courage for moms who fear their children are always steps from danger. So, all of us. A.J. Finn's book, The Woman in the Window, ingeniously riffs on Hitchcock's Rear Window. I'm going to spell his last name, too. It's A.J. Finn, F-I-N-N. A shut-in sees something horrible while spying on neighbors, but her own slowly unfurling secret may be just as shocking. From Real Simple, now what? Smart fixes for life's little disasters. First, moths have invaded my dresser. The fix? Take everything out of your dresser and then use a vacuum to remove any visible moths, says Shell Hartzer, an entomologist and manager of technical services for Orkin in Atlanta. Place vacuum contents in a sealed plastic bag and throw it away. Then wipe down your dresser inside and out with a damp cloth to remove any difficult-to-see larvae or eggs. If you have a wooden dresser, follow up with a dry cloth to prevent water damage. Despite what you may have heard, cedar chips aren't an effective method for killing moths, says Hartzer. Having a tightly constructed chest is more important. Tumble any affected clothes or linens in the dryer, or for delicate items, place in a plastic bag and store in the freezer overnight. Extreme temperatures can kill all stages of moths, from eggs to adults, says Hartzer. To prevent further infestations, avoid storing dirty garments. They can attract the nibbling pests. Next, my favorite houseplant struggles in the winter. The fix? Bend one of the stems or branches back and see if it snaps. If it doesn't, the plant is probably just dormant, which is normal for this time of year, says Marie Linotti, creator of the site GardeningTheHudsonValley.com. Many popular varieties, such as baby's tears, philodendrons, and Boston ferns, will revive if moved to a sunny spot that's not near a drafty window or heat source and that stays around 70 degrees. Lack of humidity can be tough on plants, so try misting yours every few days and watering it at least every 2 weeks. But be sure to check its care label. And last, the metal interior of my slow cooker is a mess. The fix? Remove the ceramic insert, then place a small bowl of ammonia inside the unplugged pot, says Jill Nystuhl of the blog One Good Thing by Jilly.com. The ammonia will soften stuck-on food and other gunk. Place the lid on your cooker and let it sit overnight. The next day, take out the bowl of ammonia and wipe the interior with a clean, wet dish towel. For persistent stains, combine 1 teaspoon hydrogen peroxide and 2 to 3 teaspoons of baking soda to make a paste, and scrub the remaining stains with a sponge before wiping with a damp dish towel. Dry completely before placing the ceramic insert back in. From Glamour magazine, how to smell amazing without spritzing perfume. These new ways to wear scent are a revelation. First, they've got the chic car scent. It's called Diptyque. Car diffuser, $60 from DiptyqueParis.com. Then there's the decadent dry shampoo, Elizabeth and James Nirvana Rose dry shampoo, $28 at Sephora.com. The scented Tats, This is it looks like a tattoo of flowers. It's called Tatley Perennial Set, $18 from tatley.com. That's T-A-T-T-L-Y. Then there's the Musky Hair Mist, Sarah Jessica Parker's Stash Sexy Scented Hair Mist, $25 from sjpbeauty.com. About the Brush On Perfume Powder, Byredo Gypsy Water Kabuki Perfume, $65, byredo.com. That's byredo.com. The Floral Shine Spray, Goldwell Carasilk Repower Beautifying Hair Perfume, $20 from Goldwell Salons. And last, the Fragrant Blush, Karen Fard-Ajouez Rose Poudre, or powder, I guess, but it's spelled booter, $55 from Amazon.com. So none of these are particularly inexpensive, but they are ways to smell good without using an actual perfume. From Real Simple, we have Modern Manners. Real Simple's etiquette expert, Catherine Newman, offers her best advice on your social quandaries. RL asks, my teenage son has been asked by a wealthy friend to accompany him on a family vacation this summer. It's a trip we couldn't afford, and we are grateful. The family has confessed that they treasure a companion for their otherwise bored teen. I'll send my son with enough cash to pay for one dinner or make some similar display of gratitude for the trip. Should we offer more cash to the family, or is it more polite not to? Answer, you have the kind of kid who makes other people's lives easier. How great is that? And totally priceless. But it's also fine to ask directly about the money. How much cash do you think we should send our son with? Or would it be better if we gave you guys some money up front? They will likely insist it's not necessary, and you should rest assured as it sounds like they have plenty of money. Plus, your instincts are spot on. If you haven't mentioned it yourself, I would recommend that your son treat them to a meal, which is a perfectly gracious gesture. Encourage him to be polite and help out, which he doubtless will anyway, and he'll be giving back way more than he takes. And E.S. asks, my brother and his partner have a dog they dishonestly pass off as an emotional support animal, so they can travel without having to abide by hotel and airline restrictions and fees for pets. We're planning a vacation with our other siblings, their spouses, and our parents. I found us a perfect rental house and signed a contract agreeing to a no-pet policy. My brother wants to bring the dog and claims that their doctor's note exempts them. I am uncomfortable with this, especially since it's my name on the contract. But if they can't bring the dog, they might not come on the trip. Do I stand my ground or cave to keep the family peace? Answer, I consulted my husband, the philosophy PhD, on this one, and he launched into ethics teacher mode. What your brother is asking you to do is collude in something that is admittedly dishonest and to take advantage of an exception to a rule that is designed to meet a legitimate need. In other words, it's wrong for your brother to game the particular system and wrong for him to ask you to participate. It's especially galling, of course, because people with real visible or invisible disabilities are now contending with everyone's pretend emotional support gecko when they show up with their necessary service animals. If your brother doesn't seem to understand this issue, you could try explaining it. And given that he cops to the dishonesty, you don't need to tiptoe. It's my name on the agreement, and I don't feel comfortable taking advantage of the no pets exception. Next time, let's find a place that can accommodate everyone's dogs. But for this trip, I think we should look into a nearby pet-friendly motel for you guys. One last question. If your brother feels he can't and won't vacation without his dog, is it perhaps an emotional support animal after all? I'm just wondering. From Real Simple, things cooks know, strategies, techniques, and tips on how to shop smart in the new year, which isn't quite as new as it was. Don't avoid the freezer aisle. It's not all frozen pizza and ice cream down this way. Frozen fruit and vegetables are plenty healthy. Picked and put on ice at its peak, frozen produce maintains high nutrient levels and great flavor. Plus, our favorite short season varieties like cherries and peas are available year-round. Try frozen cherries in a sauce for pork tenderloin at dinner or a rustic galette for dessert. Stock up like a chef. Multi-purpose staples can enhance everyday dishes even when you're short on time. Keep these key ingredients on hand. almonds. They're nutrient dense. Almonds lend satisfying texture to cooked grains and main course dishes. Anchovies. Use these little fish to add a briny bit of umami to pastas, sauces, and salad dressings. Black peppercorns. Freshly grind every time for fullest flavor. Canned chickpeas. Roasted until crispy or simply served as is, these protein-packed legumes bulk up soups and salads. Canned tomatoes. Great for your Italian dishes, obviously, but also good in chili and braises. Flaked sea salt. A finishing salt perfect for vegetables and seared meats that adds flair and crunch. A hunk of Parmesan. Freshly shaved or grated, this nutty cheese perks up pastas, salads, and soups. And lemons. Zest and juice brighten almost anything, chicken, pastas, seafood, and veggie sides. And tech to take to the store. Let these helpful apps lend you a hand. Keyring lightens the load on your keychain by storing all your loyalty cards and gift cards in one place for easy access. As a bonus, the app lets you create and share shopping lists and find coupons and nearby sales. Specialty Produce. Specialty Produce is a user-friendly encyclopedia of fruits, vegetables, and spices. It provides a vast amount of information on more than 2,200 items, including flavor profiles, pairing suggestions, and images that help you visually reference unfamiliar ingredients. And Cozy, from Time Incorporated, which also owns Real Simple, makes planning dinner easier by transferring online recipes, ingredients, straight to your grocery list. Then plan your meals by scheduling said recipe for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snack. Lists are accessible by the whole family, if you choose, and you can make your own subheadings depending on how you shop. And now for a recipe or two. First, here's a big batch, break and bake kitchen sink cookies. This by Real Simple. Active time, 20 minutes. Total time, 1 hour 35. Includes freezing. It makes 48 cookies. First, you need non-stick cooking spray, then 2 cups all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt, 1.5 teaspoons baking soda, 1.5 cups packed light brown sugar, 1 cup vegetable oil, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 1/2 cup, which is 1 stick, unsalted butter melted, 2 large eggs, 2 large egg yolks, 1 tablespoon pure vanilla extract, 4 cups old-fashioned rolled oats, 2 cups mix-ins, such as chopped chocolate, chopped dates, toasted nuts, toasted coconut, etc. Line a 9 by 13 inch baking dish with parchment paper. Coat with nonstick cooking spray. Whisk the flour, salt, and baking soda in a medium bowl. Whisk brown sugar, oil, granulated sugar, and melted butter in a large bowl until combined. Add the eggs, egg yolks, and vanilla. Whisk until smooth. Stir in the flour mixture just until combined. Stir in oats and whatever mix-ins you choose. Press dough into the prepared baking dish. Cut into quarters, cutting all the way through to the parchment. Then make shallow cuts, creating 12 squares in each quadrant. Do not cut all the way through on these cuts. Cover the dish with plastic wrap and freeze until the dough is solid, about an hour. Unwrap, separate the dough quadrants, and place in freezer bags. So you'll have 4 freezer bags that each have 12 squares within them. Stack the bags in the freezer till ready to use. Then when you want to bake a dozen, heat oven to 350. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Break the dough along those shallow cuts you did. Place on the sheet 2 inches apart. Bake, rotating halfway through until edges are set and golden, but centers are soft, 12 to 14 minutes. Cookies will crisp as they cool. Let cool on wire racks. And now we have a staple. If your familiarity with corn tortillas begins and ends with taco night, it's time to get to know this versatile ingredient. Brushed with butter and draped over a muffin tin, tortillas become an edible vessel for ice cream. They're also delicious as a binder, in meatballs, or tossed into a cheesy breakfast strata where they play the role of cubed bread. Unlike flour tortillas, most corn tortillas are gluten-free. They're made from a type of corn flour called Mesa harina. Whether they're yellow or white depends on the type of corn used. To keep them fresh and pliable, store tortillas in the fridge. Here are three quick ideas. First, corn tortilla ice cream bowls. Brush 12 6-inch corn tortillas with 3 tablespoons melted butter. Sprinkle with 1 tablespoon sugar, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Drape the tortillas, sugar side up, over upside-down muffin pans. Bake at 350 for 20 to 25 minutes. Let cool completely, then fill with ice cream and berries. The second one, pepper and pesto tortilla strata. Cut 10 6-inch corn tortillas into 1-inch strips. Arrange the strips, plus 1 cup roasted red peppers and 2 cups shredded mozzarella in a greased 2-quart baking dish. Combine 6 eggs, 1 1/4 cups whole milk, 3 tablespoons pesto, and 1 teaspoon salt. Add to the dish. Chill 1 hour. Bake covered at 350 for 35 minutes. Uncover, bake 10 minutes. Let stand for 5, then cut into squares. And the third one, gluten-free meatballs. Process 2 6-inch corn tortillas, 1 shallot, and 2 tablespoons parsley in a food processor. Combine tortilla mixture, 1 pound ground beef, 2 tablespoons heavy cream, 1 teaspoon salt, and a half teaspoon pepper in a large bowl. Form 16 meatballs. Broil on a baking sheet until browned, about 7 minutes. And here, from Real Simple, make it yourself a delicious essential that's better homemade than store-bought. We'll prove it. This month it's chai tea concentrate. Skip the pre-made mixes overloaded with sugar or the line at the coffee shop. This concentrate, made with the simplest ingredients, yields a fragrant and balanced cup right at home. Toasting the spices amps up their warm flavor, while steeping the brew builds depth. If you're craving an extra dose of caffeine at breakfast, stir in some freshly brewed coffee or a shot of espresso. Reach for this homemade chai to warm you up from the inside out all season long. Active time to make this, 15 minutes. Total time, 1 hour and 30, and it makes 3 cups of concentrate. You need 30 black peppercorns, 20 cardamom pods, 10 cloves, half teaspoon fennel seeds chopped in, 1 3-inch piece of fresh ginger sliced, 4 black tea bags such as English breakfast, 2 tablespoons honey or agave syrup, 1/4 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, dairy, seed, or nut milk or water for serving. Crush the peppercorns, cardamom, and cloves with the back of a knife or a mortar and pestle. Toast crushed spices with fennel seeds in a large saucepan over medium, stirring frequently until fragrant and lightly golden, 3 to 4 minutes. Add 3 cups water and ginger and bring to a boil. Remove from heat. Add tea bags and let steep for 5 minutes. Remove tea bags, gently squeezing to release excess water. Discard bags. Stir in honey and vanilla and let stand for 1 hour. Strain and discard solids. Mix 1 part milk with 1 1/2 parts concentrate. Serve hot or cold. Concentrate keeps in an airtight container in the fridge for up to 2 weeks. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.